Dehydration. There's lots of statistics out there, but probably about the most common statistic given is that about 75% of Americans are dehydrated pretty much all the time. About three-fourths of Americans are dehydrated. And dehydration is really bad for you, okay? And part of the reason it's bad for you is basically your body, when you don't get enough water, begins kind of like a rationing system and basically begins to prioritize the water that you're taking into your body. And so it kind of begins with some of your more vital organs. Not that I have any non-vital organs. Do you have any non-vital organs? But basically it starts like with your brain, your heart. So if you drink a little bit of water and say, okay, man, I got a little water here, man, let's shoot some up here to the brain or whatever, you know. And then you drink a little bit more and says, well, I think I'll give the heart some water or whatever. And it begins to prioritize that. And so when you don't get enough water, what happens is you leave off vital parts of your body. For example, your biggest organ is your skin. This is the number one organ that we have. Your skin is your number one organ. Who wants to leave off their skin? What happens? We get all dried out. And so rather than going like this, I'm going to drink some water to get my skin hydrated, what do? We start putting lotions on it and things like that. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but the point is, if we really drink enough water, maybe we can limit some of that or not have that or whatever if we take care of our body. So just think about this whole idea of how your body reacts when you don't get enough water. It starts rationing the water. Listen, I don't want any of my organs left off. Do you? I mean, I don't have any non-vital organs. As far as I know, God put them all in there for a reason. So I guess I better drink enough water so that I get enough water in there. So when you feel thirsty, this means you're already dehydrated. Okay, the whole goal is to never be thirsty. I know that's a great goal, and I can't say I make that goal, but I strive for that goal. And the more I've studied this, the more I'm going to strive for that goal. The bottom line is to drink, you know, early, to drink beforehand. So what happens is dehydration, if you get dehydrated and get in a constant state of dehydration, it damages your body. And as I studied this, there's at least a couple of things I saw that really spoke to me, that ways that I damaged my body by not drinking enough water. Because, you know, when I was 340 pounds and things like that, I mean, I didn't drink water. Okay, I did not drink water. And there's at least two things happened to me. Number one, I damaged my vocal cords. And so basically, I never drank water, but I was constantly speaking. And over time, I damaged my vocal cords and got a couple nodules on my vocal cords and had to have surgery and things like that. And really, it's all because, I mean, this water here is like lubrication. This water is like oil to a car. And here I was speaking, and never taking time to properly put on my vocal cords what they need. These days, you know, I do three services Sunday morning, you know, and I, you know, in the morning time, I'm drinking like five or six bottles of water, pretty much drinking it all morning long, taking care of my vocal cords. But again, I damaged a vital part of my body because I didn't take care of that. The second thing is high blood pressure. Your blood is made up of a lot of water. And when you don't get enough water, 83% water. And when you don't get enough water, your blood thickens. And when your blood thickens, listen, the body has to work harder to push the blood through the system. And so when that happens, it can cause high blood pressure to occur in your body. And again, back in the day when I didn't drink any water, or not enough water, I had high blood pressure. Today I'm 56 years old, okay? I do not have high blood pressure. And that's because of a lot of lifestyle changes, but no doubt water was part of that, okay? My blood is thinner, I guess, or whatever, because of drinking water. So the bottom line is I damaged my body. Those are two known ways, okay, that I can identify that I damaged my body because of not being properly hydrated. And so I want you to think about, you know, what kind of damage can you do your body? What kind of damage are you doing to your body because of this issue of dehydration? Now, water, listen, on the other hand, water is really good for you. Water is really good for you. You say, well, who said water was good? Well, God said water was good. In Deuteronomy 8:7, it says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Would you circle those words? Good land. Okay, now what's going on is the Israelites are going over into the promised land. And God says, I'm sending you over into this promised land, and it's going to be a good land. Now, because these were Baptists, they wanted to know what they were going to be eating over there, okay? I mean, this is so true, okay? If you're going to lead a church, I don't know if you're Methodist or whatever you might be or whatever, okay? Your church knows, everybody wants to know what the food's going to be like, okay? And so he says, I'm bringing you into a good land. And the first thing he does is he describes to them what's going to be there when they get there. And guess what he starts out with? He says, I'm bringing you to a good land, and it's a land of what? Brooks of what? Water. Wow. Now, you can imagine these days if we said that we're going to a good place and there's going to be lots of good water. Well, most people say, what are you talking about? I mean, aren't there going to be, you know, isn't Coke going to be there? What, I mean, you know, by the way, Coke, more people don't want to know about Coke than Jesus. That's an absolute fact. It's a sad fact. Hey, I'm telling you, Coke has gone where Jesus hasn't gone, okay, as far as spreading the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's a sad but true statement. But yet God says it's a good land, and that good land is going to have brooks of water, there's going to be fountains, there's going to be springs that are going to flow out of valleys and hills. So God says, I am taking you into a good land. And obviously, he is saying water is good for you because I'm going to make sure you got some good, clean water to drink. Your body is mostly water, and all your bodily functions require it. And just think about it. There's a couple of statistics there talking about our body and what percentage of our body is water. I mean, the brain and the heart is 73% water. The lungs are 83% water. The skin is 64% water. The muscles and kidneys are 79% water. I mean, even our bones are 31% water. I mean, we're basically water. I remember a while back, this doctor said to me, he says, listen, if I took you up to a 10-story building and dropped you off the building, when you hit the concrete pavement, you would splatter. You would splatter. And he says the reason you would splatter is because you are made up of so much water. We are basically, you know, made up of water. And this next quote talks about, you know, the difference between men and women, that basically men are about 60% water, and women are a little bit less than that because men typically have a little more muscle and women have a little more fat. And the women, it's 55% water. So just think about that. I mean, we are water. We are water. And that makes sense that we're going to require lots of water. Now, one of the biggest challenges I faced and a lot of us face is we have an attitude problem. And that attitude is, I don't like water. I don't like water. I mean, how many people say, I don't like water? And I cannot tell you today I like water. I cannot tell you I like water. I can't say I dislike water, but if I had to be honest with you, I cannot say I like water. Okay? I will tell you I'm addicted to water. I'm telling you I have to drink water. I mean, my body craves water, but I can't say I like it. We say, why do you drink it? Because I have a philosophy, and that is I'm going to drink for my health and not my happiness. I'm going to drink for my health and not my happiness. You see, the bottom line is, I mean, I want to put in my body what's going to make me healthy. What's going to make me healthy. And when I look at something, I mean, I don't think, you know, does this make me happy? I think, does this make me healthy? Now, the good news is, as you develop your lifestyle plan, those two merge together. And what makes you healthy also makes you happy. And what makes you happy also makes you healthy. But there are times when you have to make tough decisions. Tough decisions. And you might say, well, you know, drinking a Coke would make me more happy. And that might be true. But would it make you more healthy? And so we have to, you know, get over this attitude of what we like and what we don't like. We got to think in terms when it comes to eating and water and things like that. We got to think about what makes us healthy. You know, everything you put in your mouth, you ought to ask yourself, is this going to contribute to my health? Is this going to make me a more healthy person? And you need to be thinking about that and consider that in your life. Now, tonight, let's look at some vital parts of water. And the first thing I want to talk about that's going to blow your mind, it blew my mind, is the Bible and water. Now, I've never heard anybody talk about this topic. I've never spent any time myself researching this topic. Maybe you have. Maybe you have. Maybe you've heard somebody talk about the Bible and water. So let's begin here. Okay, how many of you think prayer is important? Raise your hand. Just slip your hand right. Oh, man, this is a godly group of people here, okay? Godly group. Man, I've been walked in a room on holy ground here tonight, okay? Did you know the word water is mentioned twice as much as the word pray in the Bible? Well, welcome to the meeting, okay? In the New King James Version, which is the text I use, okay, the word water appears 723 times. 723 times. The word pray appears in the Bible 376 times. So that's like, you know, 48%, 49%, whatever it is. It's right on the verge of twice as much, okay? Almost twice as much. You know, that blew my mind. You know, that I'm telling you, if I got up in church on Sunday and I got up and said, I'm going to talk about water today. I mean, I'm telling you, our congregation would say, oh, my goodness, talking about water? What in the world are you talking about? But if I got up and said, I'm going to talk about prayer, which I'm doing right now, I'm actually doing a series right now on prayer, they would say, woo, good job, way to go, way to preach the word, way to be in the Bible, whatever, okay? But guess what? We're missing out on a lot of Bible because we're not teaching the word of God. We're not teaching what the scriptures tell us. The first time water is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 1-2. That's the first time water is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 1-2. Here the Bible says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, what you got to understand, this is, you know, you got Genesis 1-1, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then you got 1-2. And so the bottom line is, I mean, water came before anything, right? I mean, because before the light came, before the sun came, before the moon came, before the plants came, before living creatures came, or anything else, there was water. And God created lots of water. About two-thirds of the surface of the earth is covered by water. About two-thirds of the surface of the earth is covered by water. And I love this. The water fills the deepest trenches on earth, which are an amazing 35,000 feet below sea level. Only the mountains and higher land masses extend above sea level. The amount of water in the ocean would cover the entire earth to a depth of about 8,000 feet if the surface of the earth was completely smooth. God created a lot of water. Now, it's not all drinkable water. I mean, you know, it's salt water and things like that. But the point is, I mean, God had a priority on water. God knew that this was going to be a basic component of, listen, life. Life. And so before he could create all this other forms of life, he had to make sure there was going to be lots and lots of water. Now, one of the things that really struck me was the important things that water symbolizes in the Bible. And I'm going to ask you if you can think of any. Okay, we already heard the water to wine. That's great. The first miracle Jesus did, Jesus used water. So that was good. Okay, so you get extra points for that. Good job. Okay, that's the kind of thing I'm looking for. That was perfect. All right. Here are some I want to show you, okay? Okay, what I'm talking about is where God uses water to say something else is like water. And the first thing is the nature of God. God described His own self as water. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." He calls himself the fountain of living waters. He says, "I am a fountain of living waters." And he says, you know, they've, you know, turned from me and they went chasing down these other cisterns, these broken cisterns that don't hold any water. Okay, people going after things apart from God and, of course, being dissatisfied. But he himself says, I am a fountain of living waters. And then the sign of the covenant. God gave a covenant. And the covenant he gave was a sign that he gave, and that is the rainbow. The rainbow. And after God destroyed the earth by flood, the Bible says that God came and he established a covenant. And in Genesis 9 it says, God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And listen, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become." Basically, God says, okay, I am making a covenant with you. I will never destroy the earth again by water. And he put this thing up in the sky called a rainbow. And every time you see a rainbow, it was given to remind us we don't have to worry about water destroying the earth. And what is a rainbow? A rainbow is basically water molecules with light shining through them. It's water molecules with light shining through them. And so God decided to use water to create this beautiful, cool thing called a rainbow, to remind us of that covenant. He used water. A third thing is the symbolism of salvation. The symbolism of salvation. And this is, we're talking here about baptism. Now, baptism doesn't save us. We cannot get to heaven through water. Okay, water will not get us to heaven. Okay, but the Bible does teach that water is a symbol of our salvation. And this symbol of our salvation is baptism. And Jesus showed us the example of baptism in Matthew chapter 3, how that he was willing to go down into the water and to be baptized. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it tells us that baptism is a symbol. And I don't know what your church background is, but the Bible teaches what's called immersion, okay? And basically what immersion is, according to the Bible, it's a picture of our salvation. And that is, it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So it says that when we are baptized, we are portraying the symbol of our salvation. It doesn't save us. We can't get saved through water, okay? We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. But basically, God came up with this cool symbol that once you're saved, once you know Christ, that you're to follow him in what we call believer's baptism. And so when a person comes down to get baptized, what I say to them, I say, "Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior?" Because that's the prerequisite. Okay, a person is to be baptized till they are saved. They know Jesus. And they say yes, okay? You say, "How do you know they're going to say yes?" Because I've talked to them beforehand, okay? And that would be very embarrassing if they said no. Anyway, I say, okay, based on your profession of faith, based on you said you're professing Jesus as your Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do you do that? Because Matthew 28:19-20, that's what Jesus said to do. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a picture that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again to give me eternal life. Think about all the different ways God could have symbolized salvation. He chose water. He chose water. That is so cool. And then the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The receiving of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, now like this, if you thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning who? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, come to me and I'll give you a river of living water. This river is going to flow out of you. And he says, what I'm speaking about, he says, is I'm speaking of the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what that means is when Jesus was on this earth, and in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would show up, but only for temporary things. Holy Spirit didn't stay, if you will. But when Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and indwells us and fills us in a permanent way. But again, God describes the receiving of the Holy Spirit like water, like a river of living water. And then the cleansing of God's Word. The cleansing of God's Word. In Ephesians 5, it talks about the responsibility of a husband. And the Bible says a husband is commanded by God to love your wife. Husbands, love your wives. How do I do that? Well, just look at Jesus. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay? Husbands are lead in a sacrificial way. Sacrificial leadership. Okay? And then verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. How can a man or a woman, for that matter, be sanctified? How can we be cleansed? How can we grow? Well, it's talking about the washing of water by the word. And so when it talks about when this word comes into our life, it's like water cleansing us. It's like water coming into our lives. Isn't that awesome? These are big events when you think about it. I mean, these are major things. These are things that in the Christian faith we hold to very, very dearly. And yet, you know, God says, hey, they're like water. But can you think of any verses that talk about water? The woman at the well. That was a great miracle, wasn't it? Yeah, obviously a lot of the verses were they watered the ground or whatever. Okay? You know, but again, this whole, I mean, God could use any illustration. Do you understand that? He just chose water. Walking on water. Jesus walking on the water. All right, so what I'm trying to get across to you is, you know, this is the Word of God. And again, losing live is biblical. And we're not talking about this stuff enough. And I'm telling you, it's spiritual blindness. Once again, the longer I get into this stuff, the more I see how spiritually blind we are in the church. And pastors are blind. We're all blind. You know, again, twice as much as prayer. Twice as much as prayer. Okay, let's move to number 2. Why drinking water is important to weight loss. Now, you know, early on, I understood the importance of weight loss and water. And if you've ever read my book, Bod for God, you know we focus on, you know, eating less, exercising more. But there's a little section in the back of every chapter called, do you know about H2O? Do you know about H2O? Because it's important, right? Okay. And any live-it plan we have is going to have to deal with the eating. It's going to have to deal with the exercising. But it's also going to have to deal with drinking water. And here's a nice little tutorial I found that I think really lays out some important points about water and weight loss. And I like to just kind of read these and make a few comments. Okay, let's just kind of go through this bullet list. Initial weight loss is largely due to loss of water. And you need to drink an adequate amount of water in order to avoid dehydration. So when you first start out on a new diet program and start eating less and you start losing weight or whatever, you know, we get all excited. We lose those big pounds or whatever, but a lot of times it's water and we need to make sure we're drinking enough water to meet that demand. Number 2, the process of burning calories requires an adequate supply of water in order to function efficiently. Dehydration slows down the fat-burning process. Would you underline that? Dehydration slows down the fat burning process. So if we don't drink enough water, we're hurting our fat burning. And of course, if we drink enough water, what are we doing? We're accelerating that. Okay. Burning calories creates toxins. This is a big one here. I love this image. Think of the exhaust coming out of your car. And water plays a vital role in flushing them out of your body. So, you know, when we're trying to get healthy, we got all this junk inside of us, all these toxins and things like that. And we need to, you know, push that stuff out of our bodies. And God uses water to help do that. Dehydration causes a reduction in blood volume. A reduction in blood volume causes a reduction in the supply of oxygen to your muscles. And a reduction in the supply of oxygen to your muscles can make you feel tired, okay? Let's just keep it simple there. You get tired when you're dehydrated, okay? And one of the reasons I like to drink water first thing in the morning, I'll say that a little bit later, is it gives you energy. Water helps maintain muscle tone by assisting muscles in their ability to contract, and it lubricates your joints. Underline that, lubricates your joints. Proper hydration can help reduce muscle and joint soreness when exercising. So you want to deal with that, you know, that soreness that comes from working out, you know, drink plenty of water. A healthy weight loss diet includes a good amount of fiber. And God for God, we recommend 35 grams of fiber a day. That's a lot of fiber. The average American's eating about 10 to 15 grams. So that's a lot of fiber. But while fiber is normally helpful to your digestive system, without adequate fluids, it can cause, here it is, constipation, okay, instead of helping to eliminate it. So you got to get that fiber going to, you know, to get healthy and to lose the weight, but you got to get it out, right, okay? And that comes through drinking adequate amounts of water. And then lastly, drinking water with a meal may make you feel full sooner and therefore satisfied eating less. And then they give a little note there, okay? And that's, you know, a lot of times we, you know, get confused, and we're really thirsty, but we interpret it as we're hungry. And so one of the basic things of any plan for losing weight is drink something first to make sure you really need to eat something. And so drink some water and quench that thirst, and who knows, that very likely can also help you with your hunger. So the bottom line is, if we want to lose weight, we need to drink water. And then water and your health. What's the big deal about water? Water and your health. Bottom line is, so many people say they don't like water, but your body likes it a lot. And I've got a handout here called Why Water Matters. And I'm giving you this handout for two purposes. A purpose number one is, this is a resource I really like. And some of you know that I make a habit every day of taking 15 to 30 minutes, you know, whether I'm writing a book or not writing a book or speaking or not speaking, I just every day, pretty much, spend 15 to 30 minutes reading something about health and wellness. And one of my favorite resources is called Experience. And there's a website on the back here, Experience Life. Now, what happened to me was, I joined a gym, Lifetime Fitness, and which is a wonderful gym. And part of being part of the gym was, they sent you a subscription to Experience Magazine. And then I decided I really didn't need to pay $125 because I really didn't need mahogany staircases in my gym. Okay, I was cool with that mahogany staircases, okay? And I would rather pay $26 at Fitness First, and it had everything I needed. So I canceled my membership at Lifetime Fitness and went over to Fitness First, which now Gold's Gym bought them out. But I'm still paying $26. But I was so loving this magazine that after I quit my Lifetime Fitness deal, they quit sending it to me, and I went out and found it, okay? And I'm, you know, you can get so much on their website, but I like to handle things too as well, okay? And so I actually, every month, get this magazine. It's a really good magazine, okay? But again, you can also, this article comes right off of their website right here, okay? But this just talk about why water matters. Why water matters? I'm not going to read it to you, but just look at the bolded words. Okay, energy. Energy gives you energy. You're tired, you're worn out, drink some water. Digestion. Okay, you're popping those Tums and everything else. Maybe you just need to start drinking more water. Regularity. You having problems with constipation or whatever? You know, regularity is critical, okay? And water is part of that. Your blood pressure, I mentioned that, you know, there it is, explaining how it all works together, okay? Stomach health helps you keep your stomach healthy. Respiration helps you with your breathing, okay? Remember, your lungs are a huge part of water, right? Acid and alkaline balance. Weight management. On the back, skin health. You want to have nice, pretty skin or whatever? Drink plenty of water. Cholesterol. Okay, that I had high cholesterol. Maybe it's because I wasn't drinking enough water. Okay, kidney and urinary health. Joint health. And then aging. Aging helps you to not look so worn out when you're aging or whatever. Okay, that's a pretty impressive list, right? You say, well, I don't like water. Well, flip it around. Do you like being tired? Do you like having digestive problems? Do you like being constipated? How many of you like being constipated? I mean, do you like high blood pressure? Do you like having stomach problems? Do you like not being able to breathe properly? Do you like having your acid alkaline imbalance? Do you like being overweight? Do you like having old skin, dried out, wrinkled up skin or whatever? Do you like having high cholesterol? Do you like having problems with your kidneys and urinary tract or whatever? Do you like having joint problems? Maybe you like looking old, or whatever. Okay. Man, it's time to drink some water. Amen. Anybody want to? We got water for anybody who wants it. Let's all take a swig of water here, man. Woo. Cheers. Cheers to water. Amen. Cheers to water. I still don't like it. Okay. I cannot tell you I like water. Okay. I mean, maybe you like it. Okay, I can't say I dislike it, but I cannot tell you I like it. So again, it's healthy. Okay, it's healthy. Water in your health. How much water should I drink? How much water should I drink? Let's talk about that. Okay. All right. So there's different factors here. Okay, you got to obviously look at how much activity you're doing. You know, what's the temperature and humidity of your environment? I mean, is it winter time? Is it summertime? Are you working outside? Are you in the air conditioning? I mean, it's not as simple as whatever. Okay, but my favorite and person, my kind of go-to doctor that I respect the most, and I probably know a couple hundred doctors personally. Okay, from all the travels and things I've done, whatever. So, but I love Dr. Don Colbert, okay? And he wrote a book called The 7 Pillars of Health. Actually, we did that like for 3 summers. It was a summer program. Some of you went through that. That was also well attended. And people signed up and showed up for that one too. But here's his answer, and I think it's a really solid answer. I'm just going to read this. He says, the answer is that our bodies yearn for pure, clean water. But one of the most common questions I hear is, how much water should I drink? I'm going to give you the answer to that question. To determine how much water your body needs, take your body weight in pounds and divide it by 2. That's how many ounces of water you need a day. So that's about 2-3 quarts for most people, okay? Usually that amounts to 2-3 quarts a day. Picture a 1-gallon container of milk and imagine it 3/4 full. If you're an average-sized person, that's about how much water your body needs daily. If you weigh 120 pounds, you will need 60 ounces of water. If you weigh 220 pounds, you'll need 110 ounces of water. Most people have no idea they require that much water. Now, here's a big thing to remember. But you won't consume it all in liquid form. Simply by eating lots of fruits and vegetables, as you should, you will get about 1 quart a day. Foods such as bananas are about 70% water, apples about 80% water, tomatoes and watermelons about 90% water, and lettuce is 95% water. So you pick up a banana and you eat it, 70% of it was water, and the other part was probably a lot of fiber, okay, whatever. If you eat an inordinate amount of starches like breads or pastries, which nobody here does, okay, you will need more water because these foods add little water to your body. Isn't that a great quote? Okay. And if you Google that thing and work on it, you'll see there's a lot of people that agree on this idea of half your body weight. The color of your urine can give you some indication. Okay, it should be about kind of like a light pale yellow. And if you're taking vitamins, you know that can cause an issue there, antibiotics, things like that. Some of the foods you can eat can also cause some coloration or whatever. But that's also a good indication. Okay, just looking at your urine and how it's coming out. You say, well, how can I keep up with all that? Well, you know, use technology. Technology is a great means. There's all kinds of apps and things, and we'll talk about that in a second, that are available. So shoot for 50%. So whatever your weight is, divide that in two, and then start striving by taking small steps to life to get to that level. Now let's talk about some tips on drinking water, some tips on drinking water. Now these tips come right out of my own life here, okay? I'm going to tell you, you know, right or wrong, good or bad, you know, up or down, like it or don't like it, I'm literally going to tell you what I did and what I've done. Okay, so here it is. Open book. Steve Reynolds tips on drinking water. Okay, number one, when I started focusing on this, I tell you folks, I did not drink water. I did not drink water. I drank soda. I drank lots of coffee. You know, I drink a lot of orange juice. I mean, I drink all those kinds of things, okay? But I did not drink water. So when I decided to drink water, what I did was I went out and I discovered a flavored water. Now, you know, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that, you know, what the chemicals are good. I'm just telling you what I did, okay? This was my small step to life. And I found this product called Propel. Now, this is like in, 2007 or whatever, okay? I mean, these days there's dozens of these waters, okay? But I don't know. Propel might have been the first one. It was definitely one of the first ones. So, I mean, this idea of flavored water was, back in that time, was very, very unusual, okay? But for me, it was a small step to life. I mean, I cannot tell you I jumped to clean water, okay, pure clean water. That was an intimate, whatever word it is, okay, it's too late in the day to remember that word. But anyway, okay, that was a step I took, okay. So you might need to take that step. I don't know. I don't recommend it, okay. I'm just telling you what I did. I'm for just good clean water. I think that's the best thing you can do. But if you can't quite swallow that yet, go ahead and find some of these things and check them out, okay. Now, here's the deal. Start your day with a big glass of water. Now, I have a spiritual moment every day with water. And I'm going to tell you what I do, okay? And don't judge me. Don't criticize me. Don't call me good or bad or whatever, okay? But don't call me a nut, okay? I am a fanatic, but I'm not a nut, okay? But I literally, when I get out of bed, what do I do first? I go to the bathroom. That's what I do first or whatever. Much information, right? Or whatever, okay? Then I come bounding down the steps, and I go straight to my refrigerator. And on my refrigerator, we have a little filtered water deal, whatever. And I get my first glass of water. I keep a glass right up on top of the refrigerator. It's easy for me to get to. I don't have to wonder where the glass is. I don't have to wonder if it's a clean glass. I got my water glass. It's sitting right up there, okay? And I grab my water glass, and I hit the thing. And this is what I do. I say, okay, Lord, I'm ready, okay? And the first thing I do is I think about my body. And I thank my body. You know, my body has been working really hard all night. Okay, I might have been resting, but my body's been working. My body's been fixing things, correcting things, you know. Man, it has been working hard. Just imagine, let's say you sleep 5 or 6 hours, or maybe you sleep more than that, 7, 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever. Let's just say 5 hours, you know. 5 hours is a long time, you know, when you think about it. And most of us are sleeping, hopefully, more than 5 hours. But I'm just saying some of us have sleep problems or whatever. Even take 5 hours. That is a long time. Hopefully, we're more up to 7, 8, 9 hours. Just think about that during the day, how long a span that is. And that's what your body has been doing. You've been unconscious in the sense of sleeping, but your body has been doing all kinds of good stuff. Now, you need to say, thank you. Let me give you some water, okay? Good job. And then I'll say Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then I drink my first glass of water of the day. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise the Lord, okay? And I think about it. Okay, number one, it's starting my metabolism. just get that sucker going, okay, whatever. And then it gives me a burst of energy. It really does. Water does give you energy. It does indeed give you energy. So that's what I do. Next thing, keep water near you as much as possible. I have water close to me all the time, okay? All the time. And, you know, have it in your home, keep it in your car. I mean, you got the whole idea of your plastic bottles heating up and all that stuff. So you got to be careful about all that and all the plastic toxins stuff coming off or whatever. But again, keep it close to you. Have it at your office. I mean, have it close by, because if water gets near you, it will get in you, right? That's one of our pet statements for losing live. If food gets near you, it will get in you. So if you want to control what you put in your body, control what you put around your body, because what you eat will eventually get in you. And the same thing is true. Keep the water close by. Keep the water close by. And I meant to bring one tonight, but the best deal I personally found on water, Trader Joe's has a real big bottle, and I think it's 83 cents or whatever, okay? And I buy a whole bunch of those at a time, okay? And for me, it's like one of the better values when it comes to water or whatever. But the point is, just keep it close to you. Keep it close to you. Keep it near you. Add lemon, okay, or some other fruits are good. It varies the taste, and here's a big deal, it provides an alkalizing effect. And keeping your body properly alkalized is important, okay? And so add that lemon. Just gives you some variety. Sometimes I'll put a lemon and a stevia there and kind of make my own version of lemonade. Drink only water when eating out. It's good for the body and your money, okay? And you should just be drinking water anyway, but just, you know, I think, you know, for my own self, this is a big deal, okay? And, you know, if we go out to eat with my family, that's, you know, eight of us plus Olivia, the baby, or whatever. And when the waiter comes up to the table and says, what do you want to drink? There's no negotiating. There's no asking, what are we going to have to drink? Eight waters, thank you very much, or whatever, okay? I mean, it's already decided. I mean, it's just decision's over. And, I mean, we need the water, and I'm not spending 30, 40 bucks on Coke or whatever for those crazy people or whatever. Okay, the point is we're going to drink the water, okay? I'm crazy, aren't I? Okay. Eat more salad, fruit, and vegetables. I mean, you know, these numbers vary, but like 80 to 90, even up to, you know, I just gave 85, 90%. It could go like 5% either way, okay? But, the average apple is, I believe it's 84%. Water. Just your average medium apple is 84% water. So when you're eating that apple, guess what? And again, probably the rest of it is a lot of fiber and other vitamins and like that. But again, just realize you can get water in all kinds of different ways. And then the last thing here, I just put down here just as a general point, which is a launching point to our next thing, and that is you got to have a clear strategy and commit to it. Yeah, I try to drink some water hourly, okay? I just try to make sure every hour I'm consuming some water, okay? And that's kind of my strategy for getting it done. Now, let me share with you another handout here, and that is some other strategies. And I want to give you a chance tonight to share any strategy that you found to be helpful. And so what I did was I posted on my Facebook this question: what strategies do you use to make sure you're drinking enough water, especially in the summer? And I got some really good responses here, and I wanted to share these responses with you. And this, okay, so I gave you six ideas. Here's a bunch more ideas, and then you're going to share with us some ideas, because you got ideas. Because here's the deal, you got to come up with a personal, what? Plan, right? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So here's some ideas. I put it up there. My friend Josh Hunt, man, it was like 2 seconds later, okay? It was like, bam, you know, sent us a picture of his water bottle. And this guy, through God, I forgot, he's like a traveling evangelist. He's lost so much weight. It's crazy. And then my son-in-law, that's George, my son-in-law, said, yep, always have my water bottle. That's a key statement, always have my water bottle. If it gets near you, it gets in you. Taylor Andrews says, we use bottles. My husband and I ask each other, how much have you had? Here's the T is for what? Team, right? Husband and wife, functioning like a team. How much water have you had? We kind of base how we're feeling and how much water we've had. I have trouble drinking enough water, so I started using a straw. Here's an idea. I notice I drink way more water when I use a straw. That's creative, isn't it? Okay. D says she sets an alarm on her phone. Hey, that's cool. Okay. She uses, again, use technology. We have all this technology these days. Use it. Okay. Larry Clifton, he's a doctor, says, depends on activity and quantity is different for each. Clear to light yellow urine is a guide, and you have to eat regular meals or you flush out electrolytes and then you look like a heat injury but aren't. It's water intoxication. Lindsay Perga says, I have a bottle like Josh Hunt's. It's 64 ounces. And this is creative. I mark little notches for every 8 ounces so I know just how close I am to finishing. So that's kind of a way to encourage yourself. Wow, look at it going down, you know. Look at it going down. Laura says, I have 2 bottles of water bottles, and I try to make sure I finish them 3 times each. That's 10 ounces each day, 60 ounces each day. If I can, I'll drink more. That doesn't include any other fluids that I consume. Eric says, I keep a case of water in the car. Okay, if water gets near you, it gets in you. I polish off four more bottles, depending on the temperature. JC says, water app. 4 people mentioned the water app. 4 people mentioned the water app. 4 people mentioned the water app. Sarah says, I put a lemon in it. I like that. Okay. It has a little more taste, and I'll drink it more often. Deanna says, I love the water app. I love the water app. Raquel says, I have a water app on my phone. There's more than one water app. I'm learning this, okay? It reminds me to hydrate and keep track of my water intake. Jennifer says, I schedule my water intake. At a minimum, I drink 4 cups at breakfast, 2 cups at lunch, another 4 cups at dinner. I've done this for the last 12 years, and I continue to begin because I feel better when I do. I like that. I feel better when I do. I'm going to have me a sip of water here, amen? I'm getting dehydrated, standing right up here. My lung vocal cords are giving me a hard time here. And Wendy, okay, sent us her journal. She journals her water, right? She aims for 6 to 8 bottles a day. She's lost like 150 pounds and losing them. Gloria says an app, water app, okay? Steven says he drinks a quart whenever I flush the toilet. I'm not even going to touch on that, okay? Whatever, okay? That would be quite a life right there, okay? Gazette says, I add some yummy diced lemons and cucumbers for taste and nutrients. Yummy! Teresa says, I always fill up my water bottle before leaving for work, so I drink it while driving to work, then fill it up at lunchtime and at dinner time. I usually fill it up between meals as well, but it holds almost 3 cups of water, so I know I get enough without having to fill it up too often. And then Stacia says, an actual gallon of water carried all day. Just filling up a gallon of water, and you just drink it, and you know you're done. Here's somebody mentioning my idea, stevia and lemon. Elaine says, drink a glass every hour. That's pretty much what I do, okay? And then Anna says, I have bottles of water in my car on the passenger seat. I made a habit to drink at least half a bottle while waiting at the red light. I divide my day in a way that I know that after certain activities, I will drink water. There is a bottle of water in almost all places. I love that. Even next to my lamp. So I'll drink the last before sleeping just in case I didn't have enough water over the day. Now, here's the lesson, okay? The lesson is you got to have a strategy, okay? This is what we got to learn, okay? It has got to be intentional. It's not just going to happen by chance. We have to have a strategy. We have to have some kind of plan. And there's multiple options. Remember, personalization. All right, so you all have some great ideas that you're now going to contribute with us. So what are you doing to increase your water? Yes. Your question is there a correlation? If you drink enough water, does it help you not to cramp? Is that right? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, there is such a thing as drinking too much water. But, I mean, I don't even bring it up because I don't think any of us are going to have a problem with that. Okay, but yeah, you technically can drink too much water. I mean, follow your doctor's advice. I'm not going to tell you not to follow your doctor, but I would ask some follow-up questions. What I would say, okay, clarify this for me, or whatever. So, okay, so we need to kind of start winding down. Okay, I gave you a draft. This is a draft of a section in the book we're writing. It's just kind of a rough draft, but it brings up some of these other issues that we need to be thinking about. And so basically, I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. Let me just hit some high points. First paragraph, the second part there says, every day half of all Americans consume sugary drinks. 25% consume at least 200 calories, and 5% drink at least 567 calories. That's equivalent to 4 cans of soda. So you got to be, the whole idea here is drinking your calories. That's the big picture. Okay? You know, beverages count. And one of the great things about water is it's zero calories. So you got to be thinking, you know, whatever you're putting in there other than water, you got to think about the things like that. Let me read this. According to figures from the beverage industry, soft drink makers produce 10.4 billion gallons of sugary soda pop each year. Think about that. That's producing enough soda to serve every American a 12-ounce can every day for 365 days a year. So that's a lot going on there, right? Okay. And here's some examples of just, you know, just what that can do to you. And, you know, what I like about it, it just shows how it steadily puts on weight. In other words, you know, a pound here, a pound there. Over the years, it starts to add up, doesn't it? Okay. On the back, it talks about high fructose corn syrup and fatty liver. On the bottom, I forgot videos. Dr. Baroni talks about fatty liver. And here, Dr. Mark Hyman, he's a really good doctor, talks about high fructose corn syrup. And then some of the other things in soda, glycerol, phosphoric acid, and all kinds of nice things like that you put in your body. Then just a whole idea of like drinking juices. I mean, how many calories are, you know, apple juice, 12 ounces is 180 calories. You know, just in my mind, I mean, God hung apples on trees, not bottles of apple juice, okay? God hung oranges on trees, not, you know, orange containers. So, you know, I mean, go for the real stuff, you know, don't get involved in all this, you know, man-made stuff. It's got all kinds of stuff in it and added stuff and things like that. But just realize, you know, might think, oh, this is really healthy, me drinking this or whatever. Well, I mean, it's probably better than soda or whatever, but you still got to think about all the calories you're taking in. And then, you know, a lot of the Starbucks drinks, you know, some of them are just crazy. You know, white hot chocolate, 640 calories. My son-in-law runs a Starbucks, okay, and asking about men like cafe mochas, 450 calories, cafe espresso frappuccinos, 460 calories. So just think about that. We have a guy in our church, he lost all kinds of weight, and all he did was quit drinking these Starbucks drinks. That was his main deal, okay? You know, getting into the whole idea of diet drinks and things like that. And, you know, there's lots of studies showing people that drink diet soda, you know, gain weight or whatever. And there's, you know, lots of debate about, you know, is it the diet soda or whatever. I personally believe it's a whole idea. This doctor describes it as the Big Mac and Diet Coke mentality. And basically a Diet Coke in one hand and a cookie in the other. And a lot of people think, well, I just drink a diet so I can go have this chocolate cake or whatever, okay? But even in that, you know, there's issues there. Okay, so this is kind of a work in progress here, but I just want to give you a draft just so you can raise some of these issues. Okay, so we have a draft of the Lose and Live postcard that we're getting ready to print, and Pete's going to pass those out. Okay, so we have one more week of this summer program, and we have two now? Two more weeks, okay. We quit right before Labor Day. So two more, like I said, two more weeks. And then we have a little break, teeny break. And so we will be starting up September, I think it's 2021, whatever it says, 21. September 21, it will be a 12-week competition.
And so we'll be getting information to you on the different levels. And Emmy will be doing something. So we're trying to figure all that out. So we're excited about the fall. Fall is my favorite competition by far. And the reason is it's our smallest competition, but it's the most serious people. And I love the fall competition because we have less dropouts. We have, anybody that signs up in the fall, they are motivated because there's nothing culturally to help them. It's getting darker. It's getting colder. There's every conceivable holiday going on. There's football. There's Halloween. There's Thanksgiving. There's Christmas. There's lots of clothes you could put on to cover up your fat. There's all kinds of, there's nothing to help you. And yet you say, I want to be healthy. I want to do this. You know, those are my people. So I'm very excited about it. So we'll have online registration set up here probably this week sometime. And so spread the word, spread the word, spread the word. And we're looking forward to a great fall and looking forward to seeing what God wants to do. All right, I want to thank Emmy for her good work, okay, doing a great job. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're blessed to have her, okay, blessed to have her. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you, and just thank you for water. Thank you that we live in a part of the world where, yes, there's these issues of fluoride and things like this, but, Lord, we're thankful that we have such access to water. And, Lord, just thank you for giving it to us, and, Lord, thank you for the importance of it. And, God, just help us to take care of our body for God and to keep ourselves hydrated. And God, thank you for rebuking me with causing me to have voice problems and surgery and high blood pressure. And Lord, teaching me the importance of drinking water. Thank you for healing me through water, Lord. And just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.